It's time for the Alex Smith Report.
Hey, from the jump, let's go. Come on, let's go. Hey, keep communicating, huh? Snap down calls.
Here we go, Z comeback, indigo, half right strong, 40.
Alex Smith.
Wide 80, wide set.
Looking for a screen to Bibbs. Finds him on the right side, breaks the tackle to the 20. Up the 50 to the 10. Capri Bibbs, Russ gets touchdown. Fumbles the football, the Giants have it. Running upfield, that is Olivier Vernon. At the 50, Alex Smith has to come and knock him out. They're going to say he stopped out. Stepped out at the 39. Alex Smith gave chase. Or he might have scored. From the shotgun takes, looking right, checks down, over the middle, fires. Adrian Peterson to five, breaks a tackle, and he is in for a Redskins touchdown. Peterson connects with Smith for the game's first score.
The fumble chase down call. I wasn't expecting that one. It's nice.
I told you after the game. I brought it up to you after the game. Thought that was a heck of a hustle play, man.
I broke 20 miles an hour.
I was going to say, I should have checked the next gen stats to see what that is. They said
Chad Engelhardt, our strength coach out there for everybody, puts every game, puts the leaderboard. He puts like the top eight fastest guys on the team on the whiteboard in the weight room. So like right when you walk in the weight room on Monday after the game, he has them and he has the speeds correlated with them. And as a quarterback, you never really get a chance to open up. You have to like maintain that speed for a certain amount of time for it to register.
Yeah.
So we don't really get, you can't just like burst for like 5 yards and get it to count.
Right.
So it's a lot of special teamers. It's a lot of DBs, receivers, guys that get to open up for like, you know, long periods of time. So quarterbacks, I rarely get a chance to do that, and made the board. I think I was like
you
five.
You were going over 25, made 20 miles an
20
hour?
20 miles an hour. I was right behind AD. AD on his touchdown run, I think, got like 20.4. And I was like 20.2.
You mean AP?
AP AD.
He used to go by AD, and I'm a little older, and I still call him AD.
Oh.
So this is I'm a little torn. Everybody here calls him AP.
Well,
and it throws me off. I know him as AD. Like I feel like that's what his name was.
Well, and
forever.
And that's the problem though too, is that he also doesn't care. He's like, yeah, either one, it doesn't
matter.
Well, people have, and he's like, yeah, I mean, because that's what he really got AD when he was at Oklahoma, and that's, I mean, I'm sure that's how you remember him, like, because you guys were together at that time.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, look, you're
all
right
day,
in the same category with him.
Right? I mean, it's, I don't know, anyway, yeah, it was
speed.
Speed,
man. You're a fast dude, man.
With old timers, got a couple old timers on the board. I gave Vernon a hard time that he wasn't up there.
Combined 40 miles an hour between the two of you.
Yeah, that's right.
And all day. Literally all day up until the very end of the day, and he comes up with that run to seal the game was pretty incredible. And I mean, really, it was a whole team effort, just the way that that play set up.
You love that in 4 minutes. I mean, there's nothing better in 4 minutes when they're – and that's kind of usually the name of the game in 4 minutes, to be honest. They're bringing everybody up in the box, right? They got to get the ball back. They know you're running it. Mm-hmm. Whole stadium knows you're running it on first, second down a lot of times.
We know it.
And if you can get through the first level, really there is no real second level a lot of times. So a lot of times you either see a stuff for no gain, you know, or you see these plays sometimes and it's the best sight. And, you know, as a quarterback, you know, basically our only responsibility in that at that point is you secure the handoff and then we call it follow the ball. You know, most of the time you boot away.
Right.
We try to sell a fake, you know, or hold the backside D end or something. And in those situations you follow the ball because – you know, if something crazy happens, the ball pops out, you want to be there to potentially jump on it or make a tackle or something. And so you got I had a great view of that one. I'm saying, like, hand off, you follow it, and that hole opened up, and, man, he hit it. So fun to see. AD was pertinent that day for sure because he brought it all day. Thought the guys up front were physical. He ran physical all day, and it was the difference in the game.
It was great. It was great. Do you think he would outrun him? Do you think he was going to get caught there? Were you going? Because you were following it up. Was he pulling away?
I guess in that moment, I thought he had it. I wasn't. There wasn't a ton of. I didn't think he'd get caught. He still got it. I mean, he could still open up. I think he still got a lot of burst. Either way, though, that was a game changing play. Regardless of him getting tackled, if he were to get tackled inside the 10, I still think that would have been a seal the deal type thing.
I know it's kind of been a recurring theme here. You guys have had a couple of good drives in the first half,
yeah,
and obviously you score on the drive. What would you kind of assess the overall offense's performance there on Sunday?
I felt like I think that defense is better than everybody thinks. I mean, I think the Giants and their record, and I think you look at what they did the week before to Atlanta, at Atlanta, and I mean, I thought really held that offense in check all day, which is a pretty high power offense on the road. Mm-hmm. And for us to go up there, I felt like there were a lot of they're a good defense. There were a lot of self-inflicted things. We had a lot of penalties early that stalled us out. When we weren't doing those things, and we were just kind of going about our business and nothing crazy, we weren't doing anything crazy.
Right.
I felt like we marched the ball, got into rhythm, and we were able to score points. And then when we didn't, I felt like we had a lot of self-inflicted things, setbacks, got off schedule. That's obviously when we're not executing. And I think it was a great game for us to look at the film. And nothing to take away from them, but there were certainly a lot, like I said, self-inflicted things, I think, that are easily correctable, that jumped out on film that, man, if we just – everybody does their job. I know it's cliche, but really it was. I mean, I think we have the ability just to kind of do that and march it. So I think that was what we take away. I mean, again, it doesn't have a ton of carryover to this week. We got Atlanta, they're a completely different deal, and get ready for them. I thought, regardless, though, we did make the plays when they needed to be made to win the game.
Now, I heard an expression which bothered me as someone who works within this organization, and I work here as a member of the team, and you and I have gotten to know each other.
Yep.
It kind of bothered me when I heard someone refer to you as this. And the team is +7 right now. And I can tell you right now, Alex, we hadn't seen +7 around here in a long time, okay? +7. I don't know where the ratings are, but it's top 5 for sure. +7 means winning football. This team's on top of the division. We know where we stand. We know what's ahead of the Redskins. But are you offended by the term game manager?
Yeah, I'm not at this point. I guess I've kind of dealt with that long enough in my career. I would be lying if I said, 8-10 years ago it didn't get me and get to me.
Bothers me.
To be honest, I think what jumps out at me, winning is the most important thing, and you said it, and there's a lot of little things that go on. There's so many things that go into playing winning football, and as a quarterback, to have the ball in your hands every single play, there are hundreds and thousands of things that go into playing winning football as a quarterback. With that said, we're so close, I feel like, to breaking out on offense and really kind of putting it together on a consistent basis. And I think that's kind of what's lacking right now is that consistency. And I think we're so close to that. I guess at this point, yeah, I'm not bothered by that. I like where we're sitting. I like where we're headed. We got to continue to keep getting better. We got another big opponent this week. So I'm not paying too much attention to that, I guess, at this point. Any of that kind of talk?
Well, I guess it's better than being a bad game manager.
Yeah, for sure. That's true. You could always be worse.
But he could be. She'll be a man. He's a bad game manager. Well, I guess you wouldn't be here if you were, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah. You're darn good, Gabe. And you know what? I feel it coming too.
Yeah.
I feel it coming. I say you got a good rhythm the beginning of that game. You found Jordan Reed early. Looks like you guys got something going there in that first quarter.
God, and then we missed on just a few there late. I missed them on a bad ball up the sideline. He had the guy beat. And then a couple of little third down conversions there. That he and I just off, but I mean, he's a guy that I feel so good throwing the ball to. He's such a great matchup, and he gets us going for sure offensively.
All right, let's take a break to talk about our friends at the D.C. area Meineke Car Care Center, a great place to get everything you need done to keep your car on the road. It's so important to maintain your car, and with 19 Meineke Car Care locations in the greater Washington, D.C. area, they are there to help you do so. Now through October 31st, you can get up to a $100 Visa gift card when using your Meineke credit card with a purchase of $499 or more. You can see all of the rules and regulations for this offer on Meineke.com. So don't get sidelined by car trouble this season. Sign up for Meineke Rewards to receive free towing to your nearest Meineke location where their team of Total Car Care experts can get your car back on the road. Save time by booking online at Meineke.com. Meineke, on with life.
Redskins Recon with Alex Smith.
We're going forward.
Everybody's going to take their licks in this game. It's not easy. And I think the guys that were mentally tough, that kept getting back up, that kept going at it, finding a way, getting better, never stopped improving in all aspects. I think I've strived to do that. I think I still strive to do that. It never ends. You kind of continue the chase.
Moving forward.
That's right.
Atlanta.
And I was just thinking about this. Atlanta's defense, this is like the new craze in the NFL. If there was like a craze defensively, it's what we're going to play in Atlanta, and it comes from this Seattle cover 3 defense. And it just reminds me, when I first came in the league, the big craze was Tampa 2. Do you guys remember Tampa 2?
Yeah, sure.
Started in Tampa. They had Simeon Rice, Kiffin, made it famous. The Chicago Bears ran it when they were winning. You know, they were really rolling. They went to the Super Bowl. The Colts were running it with Coach Dungy.
Yep.
And that was the big craze when I first came in the league. And then all offenses spent a ton of time and how can we beat Tampa 2 and dissecting it and going about it. And the last couple years, it's really emerged that this is the thing going around the league right now defensively is this Seattle cover 3. Started with Coach Carroll up there in Seattle, and Gus Bradley took it, and it spread around the league. Coach Quinn, Dallas is running it now, and there's a bunch of other places. Indy kind of ran a form of it, and it's kind of filtered through the league, you know, the copycat league, everybody kind of calls it. You know, everybody's, you know, trying to emulate each other and who's doing what well. And so this is that. They run it. They were obviously a core of it with Coach Quinn down there. So, yeah, this is the thing. We got to get ready for it. They play.
I'm not like Cooley. I don't get it. I don't know. Could you explain it to those football geeks who are laymen like me?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. So here, to break it down, it's not a ton of man. They'll play some man-to-man situationally.
Right.
They don't play a ton of man defense. It's a zone defense where they have a middle field post safety. And the corners are each have a deep third. So that's why we call it cover 3. They each have a third of the field deep.
Okay.
Cover 2 would be two safeties that each split the field. Cover 4 would be four.
I actually do understand it.
Anyway, they run a variation of this. It's been around for a long time. They run it a bit of a unique way, depending on your strength, the formation strength, 3x1, 2x2, all these things. They do convert it. They tend to have some principles with it, depending if you're running vertical routes, in breaks, things like that. A lot of times they'll do it where they press the corners. This is kind of the Richard Sherman. He's up and he's pressed. It looks like man, it's not, okay. But he's physical. If you do run vertical, a lot of times it plays out like man. You know, and that's kind of the trend going around the league. So, Atlanta running it. Dallas kind of running a form of it that we played a few weeks ago. So there will be some carryover getting ready for this game.
Seems like there's these defenses, they thrive a lot on having a pass rush without having to blitz.
Yeah, any good defense,
right,
regardless of scheme, but all these ones, when you think about the great ones, just like you going back to the Tampa 2 days,
yeah,
it all starts up front. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about Seattle when they were rolling, that defensive front was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Dallas, it rolls. That front is really, really good when it's going. And so I think a lot of these, and any good defense, I mean, it starts up front. If you got a good D-line, the ball's got to come out. It's got to come out on time. You know, all those things are points of emphasis. So, I think that tends to be the case probably on both sides of the ball. If you're good up front, it all kind of starts there.
Well, as you guys, I mean, you look at yourselves and you evaluate yourselves, and you keep talking about how we got to get better each week. How would you say you guys are better from, let's say, you know, week 2 to now?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of continues to change. I think we have a better grasp. I think the big thing is situationally.
Mm-hmm.
What we're capable of, the things we can do, and I'm really talking third down here. I'm talking red zone, short yardage, goal line, 4 minute. Those are the big two minutes.
Right.
Those are the big situations for an offense. And then I think that if you're good in those situations, if you win those situations, you tend to win the ball game. Obviously, turnovers excluded from that.
Mm-hmm.
And all week we practice those kind of compartmentalized, right? We practice this on this day, and we practice this on this day. And then in the flow of a game, you have no idea when they're going to come up. Right? I mean,
right.
Boom, all of a sudden, first drive, you could be thrust into a backed-up situation where you're on your own one. You could be thrust into a goal line, into a short yardage situation. And as these come up, the attention to detail is so crucial, and the margin of error is so small. And I think us offensively getting a better grasp of all those things, executing in those situations, who we are in those situations, kind of our identity. And I think that is one thing I do think we take with us weekly, and we tend to grow on and get better at.
Well, listen to you breaking down that defense, and it's a shame the Redskins don't have some tight ends that can catch and run with the football.
Yeah,
or they could really do some damage on Sunday.
Yeah.
But the suspense is killing me. I want you to know this. I mean, I love where the team is right now, and I haven't talked about the defense much here, but obviously they're leading the way. But it's just I had a hard time sleeping last night. I came in here today. And knowing that we'd see you today,
yep.
And the biggest question I have on my mind is,
where's this going, Larry? What we got?
What are you going to be for Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Do you, want me, do you want me to reveal it right now?
Yeah, I mean, unless the kids take the podcast,
all right.
I mean.
All right. It went to my two-year-old. Okay. Somehow we were working our way down. We got to my two-year-old daughter, okay? And trying to be something, you know, different, unique. And her favorite thing of the year, hands down, was The Greatest Show, the movie, the musical. Which is the circus-based movie.
Greatest show on Earth.
Barnum and Bailey Circus. Sure. It was a musical. Sure. Anyway.
Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey.
This thing was on repeat in our house, this soundtrack, and in our car for months.
That's the way it goes.
And so we are circus-themed. We're going to be The Greatest Show. Family circus-themed. That's what we're rolling with.
No.
Luckily, it's going to be decent weather. I don't have to worry about the
I don't know. I don't know about this, Perry, because, you know, I think of circus, I think of clown. And you're going to be a clown?
I'm not going to be a clown.
Well, you already
figured
this out.
There will be a clown. There will be a clown amongst us. I am not going to be the clown. Luckily.
You figured this out last year, too. You figured this out last year because when you were the Joker, you ended up scaring your own child. So you'd be a pretty
And I didn't want to be the clown because basically the Joker's kind of clownish anyway, and I'm like, that's pretty similar. I didn't want to do the same. So, yeah, I'm not the clown. We went different thing. This is kind of a vintage circus.
Okay.
This is not.
So
this
are we
is
gonna
kind
have
of
a top hat. Maybe
kind of
like
a good tease.
Yeah,
this is a good tease.
Ringmaster.
Yeah, this. Yes, this is the way we're going.
No
here.
Face paint though. Probably not. Right? Maybe.
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
When can we see a picture? Can we
soon? Well, yeah. I mean,
next week
soon,
we'll have
a
picture
course,
on the podcast, exclusively on the podcast.
Yeah. There we go. Let's do that.
Just nobody
I'll
follow
my
your...
wife off on the posting.
Yes. Nobody follow her on Instagram for now. All right, as we celebrate another Redskins season, the Virginia Lottery hopes that you'll join them in celebrating their own 30th birthday because every time you buy a lottery ticket, you're supporting another team, Virginia Public Schools. Since 1988, the Virginia Lottery has raised over $9 billion for education, a victory they couldn't have achieved without their loyal players. So on behalf of the Virginia Lottery, thank you, Virginia, for making their 30th season a winner. To help kick off their 30th birthday, the lottery is recognizing extraordinary Virginia public school graduates through their Made in Virginia program. If you know a Virginia graduate you'd like to recognize as outstanding in their career or community, nominate them for the Made in Virginia Award. Winners will get money to award to their Virginia public school of their choice. Entry period ends October 12th. For more details, go to madeinvirginia.com.
Time for Q's for the QB.
Are there any questions?
Be curious, not suspicious.
Any questions?
Question things, ask.
Come on, guys, there's no such thing as a stupid question.
All right, so we chatted last week. This wasn't on the air, but you made your first visit to a DC staple, Good Stuff Eatery,
in
Georgetown.
Yes.
Now, you told me, but I'm going to ask you again because I already forgot because it was too long. What was your choice on the menu? Choices,
and
I should say, on the menu.
It took like 10 minutes to get there, Larry.
Told
it was amazing.
Did I tell you?
It was amazing.
Boom, right there.
One light. I think it was literally one light.
Did you go over the bridge and then down along the canal? Yeah, it's really easy. Especially going that direction late at night. You're in good shape, man.
Yeah, it was great. My sister knew about it. She's been to them. I think there's a few of them in the city. Yeah. And so she recommended going there. And we went. And I had some family still in town after the game. So we went. Yeah. It was great. I had, God, if I can remember that. I mean, they have like a good melt, I think. There's a bunch of like loaded mushroom burger. So did that. I did that with they had like a salad and they did chili. And then I had to go back for they do like a burger. I forget what it was called, like a sunny side burger or something with an egg on it and fully loaded. That one was pretty, good. It was tough to pick which one was the better one, but. Yeah, it was really, really good. I'd definitely recommend it.
And then the shakes, too, right?
Shakes, and then we did full shake. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the shakes. They've got like 17 different flavored shakes, so my kids were – we do the deal, like, hey, if you finish your burger, you know, you get a shake, which
bribery.
I don't totally get – you know,
that's not actually,
it doesn't make a ton of sense. Here, eat this entire thing of French fries. It'll give you a shake after.
Yeah.
So we did that. And, yeah, I think we went down and ordered – we had a decent-sized group. I think we ordered 15 shakes to bring up. They had, like –
Did you eat the next day the way your diet is? Did you take off
took
the
breakfast
next
off,
day?
Took breakfast off. But, yeah, I was pretty hungry by lunchtime again. But, yeah, it was good. Yeah, threw down a couple burgers, some chili, and a salad.
All right, shout out Good Stuff Eatery. Yeah. All right, first cues for the QB. This is from Antonio. Can you share why you picked to wear number 11 since all the way back to college?
Yeah, I started in college my freshman year. So when I first started playing football as a freshman, I picked number 3. My older brother wore number 3. He's part of the reason I wanted to play quarterback. He's 8 years older than me. He's He really is the reason I wanted to play quarterback. So I went with three. Then I transitioned. John Elway was like one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up. And when I went to, I got my junior year, when I went to varsity, I chose seven. I went to seven. And I loved that, and I was seven. And that was kind of my number at that point. Right. And I'm rolling with seven. This is my number. And, of course, if you're a freshman, I get up to the University of Utah, a senior receiver had seven.
Right.
And you don't have a lot of juice. When
no
you're
transactions
this,
take place.
No,
that,
you're
at
just
that
this
stage,
lowly freshman, you know. And so, no, that like the one that – there were only a couple numbers to choose from because, I mean, these are there's 100 guys on the roster.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I mean, there's such a lack of numbers that usually even in college you have an offense and defensive guy sometimes sharing numbers.
Yeah.
And so there were only a couple for me to choose from. 11 was one. I was always fond of 11 as well. It was one of my, like, you know, defaults if it was there. So I picked 11 and went with it and went with 11 and never really had a chance to – I played a little bit as my freshman year and then started my sophomore and junior year and had 11 enrolled. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was like a whirlwind since then. I got drafted. I got drafted by San Francisco. As soon as I showed up, 11 was waiting for me.
Great.
Printed out, already ready to roll.
Didn't even ask you, though?
No, no, absolutely not. Already ready to roll. Here, you're going to be 11. It's we got it for you. So then I wore it there. I get traded to Kansas City, same thing. In fact, they took 11 when I got traded to Kansas City. Someone had 11. They took it from him. Like you know, he wasn't like a starter, but they just,
right.
I didn't even know about this. They took it from him. It's waiting for me there. And then kind of same thing here. So yeah, it has become my number and it is my number now. It's even in my family, it's 11's mm-hmm. kind of a theme. Obviously my sons love it. And yeah.
Any 11 tats on your body?
I don't have an 11 tattoo. My son was born on 5/11/11.
Nice.
So okay. It's kind of like it. Yeah, there's
good numbers
there's some,
game.
There's some deal there.
D-Jax had 11, I guess, last guy here, right?
That's right.
So there are some 11s. I see a lot of 11s in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, even
you can see from the front.
When we played at Arizona, there were 11s everywhere.
Let me see, let me see this
color.
One.
There's
one on the wall. Hold on. Let me see. I
think it's not. It's not you. Oh, that's right.
Oh, nice.
I forgot about him between Jackson.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor wore it. Forgot about that. And there's still a tag on it. So this jersey is for sale, by the way.
There should be a way to just, like, jerseys are expensive. Just kind of get the nameplate.
Like you just take it back and get your nameplate redone.
And roll.
Well, 17 is one around here because Doug wore 17.
Uh-huh.
Billy Kilmer prior to him wore 17. And Jason Campbell wore 17.
That's right.
So there's been a lot of 17s.
Jason, he and I were the same year.
He's a good dude. I'll tell you something that happened to me yesterday, which is completely off topic. But, you know, Greg Williams got named interim.
Yep.
And it gave me the occasion to go back and listen to the famous tape that was taken without his knowledge in the meeting room in New Orleans.
That was against us.
Your name came up in his speech.
What was it, cut the head off and the snake will fall?
Kill the head and the body will die.
Kill the head and the body will die. That's it. That's right.
They were really looking for Frank Gore's head on a platter.
Yeah, there were quite a few names that got thrown out.
Your name is in that.
Yeah. My second career start was against Greg Williams here. He was the D coordinator here.
Yeah, I said, you know, I said to myself, when I see Alex, I'm going to mention this. And I mentioned it to him.
I remember that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our final word. 11th hour, I should say.
Yeah, the 11th hour is coming up.
Are uninvited pests ruining your plans? Let PMSI, the pest control partner of the Washington Redskins, handle it for you. Call today for your free inspection, and they'll work around your schedule to provide you the best solution possible to defend your home territory against pests of all kinds, including mold. Visit mypmsi.com for the game plan to control the pests on your home turf. That's mypmsi.com.
This is Rick Goslin with the Talk of Fame Network. This NFL season, FanDuel has more ways to win than ever before. New Beat the Score contests pay out everyone who hits a certain score. Now it's easy to find your friends and challenge them to play head-to-head fantasy contests for cash or bragging rights.
New players, try FanDuel today and get a $20 bonus when you make your first deposit. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Rick.
New users only. Bonus not available for withdrawal. State and age restrictions apply. For eligibility rules, terms, and conditions, go to FanDuel.com.
The 11th hour.
Yeah, here we are. This is kind of the point in the year, I think, when these games really start to roll over. And I think for us, we're in a good space. I felt it yesterday after the game. You know, we got back. And I even felt it on the plane. There already was the transition going on our flight back to Atlanta.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like that. I think that's a positive. I think when guys flush the last game and quickly have a sense of urgency, like let's get on to the next. Let's keep this thing going. And it's kind of flowed throughout the entire team, all three units. And you start to get a little bit of energy and a little bit of rhythm and kind of like that flywheel type philosophy, you know, once you get that thing going and keeping it going. And I kind of feel that right now. And this is the point in the season where you need that, because you're right in the middle of it and you got to keep marching. We're almost to the halfway point. And so I felt that energy. I think it's great. Obviously, we've got to, you know, I think kind of keep that with us, that sense of urgency.
I'd ask one more question.
Yeah, shoot.
After New Orleans, did you notice anything change here? After you guys got back from New Orleans, obviously you guys have won three in a row. Maybe nothing changed. I mean, maybe you guys just took it and flushed it and went on, but I'm not sure if you noticed any.
No, I do. I without a doubt do, and I think it's kind of what I was just talking to. I think this team, I think that was a little bit of a wake-up call that nobody's good enough in the NFL just to show up and win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's good enough. There's so much parity. Everybody is so good. And that you fight and scratch and battle all week to prepare. And then you gotta play with passion, physicality, energy, personality. I mean, all those things, you got to bring it and play with it on game day. And I do think a little bit, speaking to a lot of the leaders on this team that we have that do bring that, set that for us, you know, DJ, Trent, Mason, some of these guys that I think really are setting the tone, bringing the energy, pushing these guys regularly So, yeah, I mean, I do think there was a little bit of shift there, and hopefully it's still there.
All right, man. Bring it home.
Yeah.
Your Redskins 365 update for this Tuesday, October 30th, Halloween Eve, and it's also the trade deadline, 4 p.m. Eastern. So if there was some news that happened revolving around the Redskins and a trade, you probably already heard it before you listened to this podcast, but maybe you didn't. And if you want more information on anything that's happened, go to Redskins.com. And, of course, there's been plenty of rumors out there about players, not much about the Redskins per se in being involved with the trade, but you never know, as the Redskins currently sit 5-2, a game and a half up in the NFC East. They'll get back to work tomorrow with practice on Wednesday as they prepare for the Falcons. Alex Smith will speak to the media at noon and Jay Gruden after practice at around 10:50. For everything you need to know, coverage, latest updates, Redskins.com, at Redskins on Twitter, and at Redskins on Instagram, and Washington Redskins on Facebook.